Hey, it's Steve with Mouse Chat. Just wanted to let everyone know that we're going to be actually at Walt Disney World this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for our Mouse Chat fan meetup. So follow us on Twitter at Mouse Chat and also on Facebook because we'd love to meet up with you. So we'll have updates there. I can let you know right now that Friday, I know we'll be at Disney Hollywood Studios for part of the day. Saturday over at the Magic Kingdom for at least part of the day. And then Sunday over at Epcot as we kind of do a lunch around the world at World Showcase. So again, follow us over at Twitter at Mouse Chat. This week we have an interview with Stacy. So if you've been to Disney World and stayed at a Disney resort, you definitely know who Stacy is. She does the must-see top seven on the Disney Resort TV. So I'm going to hand it off to Lisa, and here is Stacy.
Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have Mouse Chatters Lauren, Steve, Bob, and Chris. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
And also today, we have a very special guest. It is going to be the one and only Stacy J. Welcome, Stacy.
Hi, guys and gals.
How's it going?
Hello.
Thank you for having me. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. I would like to go ahead and get started because we have lots of questions and we know you, we think, and we're going to see how much we actually know about you. So I'm going to start us off and I'm going to start at the beginning because that's a very good place to start.
Yes.
I stole that from somewhere.
Yes.
And you were an accomplished dancer at a very young age. And I believe you graduated from the acclaimed Juilliard School.
That is true.
I would be thrilled if you could share with our listeners a little bit about your background, your dance background, and how you got started in all of this, because it progressed. So let's start at the beginning.
Okay. Well, I actually started dancing when I was really little, because I was a competitive roller skater and my coaches wanted me to work with a choreographer for my routines because I was doing kind of what you know as figure skating, but on roller skates. So there was choreography and jumping and spinning. And so I started dancing to help with that. And then at the time, I mean, my skates were like many pounds each. And so when I would be jumping and spinning on the skating rink, it was one thing. But then when I took those off in the dance studio, I jumped like a grasshopper. And so I, of course, caught the eye of some of the teachers and just my nature. When I find something that I love, I do it 110% or I don't do it at all. So I went home and said to my parents, I am mad for ballet. This is what I want to do too. And so they've always been so supportive of my creativity and said, okay, well, we'll squeeze this in somewhere in your schedule. And so I started dancing 6 days a week. I would have gone seven if they had let me. But I guess people take a break on Sundays, apparently. So I started dancing, and then I was in a professional ballet company in high school. And kind of early on, I decided I wanted to go to Juilliard. And I don't know exactly how I became aware of it, or maybe it was from one of my dance teachers, but I just knew that I wanted to go to the next level with ballet specifically. And then I got into modern and jazz and flamenco and other dance forms. But I just said, okay, well, Juilliard's what I want to do. And it never really occurred to me that I wouldn't get to go.
Oh.
I just thought, I want to do this, and so I'm going to get to do this. That's kind of how I still operate. There's no in my world. Anyway.
Well, that's good. Positive
so I attitude. Auditioned and I mean, well, once I kind of knew that's what I wanted, I mean, there was no stopping me. And I was dancing constantly. And even when I was in high school, I was taking my academics and I would finish early in my senior year. So then I went to the university and was dancing there and I was dancing in an opera company and I was obsessed. So I moved to New York and after I graduated and started Juilliard, and it was an amazing experience. It was 4 years of my life that I will never forget. It was incredible. I mean, at the time, I wasn't walking around going, hey, I'm at Juilliard. How you doing? You know, it was.
But you can do that now.
Well, it's funny you say that because, I mean, people will say, oh, yeah. And it's not like I wear my Juilliard sweatshirt all the time, but people will say, oh, Juilliard. And I get this really really distinct reaction. And so I think after I graduated was when I really felt the impact of how special it was that I got to go, first of all, because thousands of people don't get to go. And then just the fact that I actually stayed in and graduated in good standing after 4 years and went on to do other things with it. Just really made me realize, wow, that was really something very, very special. And so I'm very grateful for it. I've been able to dance in all different forms and all different places in the country and all different kinds of companies. And so I actually went on to teach and choreograph as well. So it's been a huge part of my life. And since I moved to LA 6.5 years ago, I haven't really been dancing like I used to because, first of all, I'm really busy with other things. And also, LA is not kind of the dance scene that I'm accustomed to and want to do. I don't really want to go and do music videos or go on tour with Avril Lavigne. Nothing wrong with her. I'm sure she's lovely, but that's not what I want to do and what I did. So it comes in handy being able to do it, and I certainly use it, but I don't go to class every day or strap on point shoes every day like I used to. So
Miley Cyrus could use a choreographer these days.
Miley Cyrus could use a good friend and a hug is what she
Very true.
Yeah. So I'm not gunning for any of Miley's work, so she should just relax. her projects are safe. I'm good with that.
Stacy, since 2005, you've been the host of Walt Disney World's Top 7 Must-Sees and Must-Do Disney TV.
Yes.
That's the one that plays at the resorts, and it's seen by millions of guests every year. How did that opportunity actually come about?
Well, I was living in North Carolina at the time, and I was dancing there and doing – I had gotten into theater, and I was acting, and I got an audition for – an infomercial, and it's funny, you guys are in North Carolina and Atlanta, because when you live in North Carolina, I had a great agent there, but you'd have to drive to Atlanta many times for an audition. So you'd drive 8 hours round trip just to say, hey, can I take your order, or whatever it was. And I did that sometimes 2, 3, 4 times a week. So I was going to, and we would do that for Wilmington, and it was sort of a standard that if you were there in the Southeast, you'd have to drive to auditions, not have them all be local. So anyway, so I was going to Atlanta for something else. And my agent, as I was leaving, said, hey, there's something tomorrow that they said they can put you on tape for today, so you don't have to go back tomorrow. So I was like, great. Okay, sure. So I remember they gave me the famous Summit Plummet copy. So I was on tape. I got put on tape for that. As I've said before, I was dressed completely inappropriately. It's not like I have now. I mean, if you look in the trunk of my car now, it looks like TJ Maxx meets Neiman Marcus. I mean, it is like I have everything from cheerleading pom-poms to roller skates, golf clubs, a prom dress. But at the time, I didn't have my full thing. So I was put on tape with that. And then a couple of days later, I got a call back to go back to Atlanta and meet the director. And it was myself and I think four or five other women that were in the callbacks. And unbeknownst to me at the time, which I think is good, they had done a casting all over the country. And it came down to me and a woman in Atlanta. Me and a woman in LA. And so it was all taking longer than they had anticipated. So it was all very rushed by the time they finally decided on me. And so I only had like 4 days to learn the whole full script of the Top 7, which was like 25 pages. And wow. I don't know if some people know this. People that watch me in the parks know this, but I don't use any teleprompters or cue cards or ear prompters. It's all memorized. And then obviously there's ad-libs and B-roll and things like that, but the stuff that's really scripted that Disney wants exactly how they want it, I memorize it word perfect. So I had 4 days to do that. It was my first hosting job ever. So the stakes were really high, and I don't think I quite fully appreciated the impact of it. Again, Stacy, full Stacy, what? Till I got there and saw, oh my goodness, this is just all about me. There's nowhere to hide. It's just me. Everyone's looking at me. The camera's looking at me. So I really I really had to hit it out of the park the first day, and it was a great experience. And you know, it was only supposed to be for a year, and here I am in year 8. So to say that I am incredibly grateful and incredibly honored to continue this platform is a severe understatement. I am so happy to be a part of it, and I get so many amazing, you know, Facebook messages and tweets and emails, and just, you know, and I get to meet people like you guys that are interested in what I do. So it's really, it's very lovely. I'm very flattered.
It's just, well, it's so huge, and you seem so down to earth, and it's
well, I'm very short. I'm only 5'2", so it does help to stay down.
Chris, you should buddy up with
close to the ground.
Well, it's funny too, because a lot of our, we posted on Facebook that we were talking to you tonight, and a lot of people are like, that's my dream job.
Oh yeah. It's fun. I mean, it is definitely work, but it is so much fun, and it's such a great challenge, because there are times when, because you guys know from the parks, I mean, we don't want to disrupt the guest experience. We don't want to make anything, you know, we can't stop the monorail. We can't stop the rides from going. And so there's times when I know I really have maybe one take, maybe two for a safety, but I have to nail it. And so it's really cool. And because I am a competitor, and from my skating and so much of what I do in live theater, I mean, you get one shot at it, you don't get a do-over. So every time I step in front of the camera, in my mind, I always have this little kind of competition with myself, which is you got to get in and get out and do it once. And I'll do it 50 times if they want it, but not because I'm not doing my job well. I'll do it for them, but I'm not going to do it because, oh, she doesn't know what she's saying, or it's not a good performance, or so.
You're going prepared.
Yeah. And it's amazing. It's like you have your own fan club now. It's like I go to the parks and they have like shirts with turkey legs on them. And I bet next time I could go in there and there could be a shirt with you.
Yeah, there are certain lines from Must Do and from Top 7 that have been,
oh, really?
Over the years, really, people love certain lines, and they kind of are the common things, I think. And
what are some of those?
Some of them, of course, people love love roller coasters, love Aerosmith, hello. They love that one. They love Wham, Wham, Wham. It's all Wham. of course, the yummy, 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 yummy. The gelato guy in Italy, yummy. Let's see what else.
These are,
I'm
well,
getting flashbacks.
It's funny to hear you say these, because I can picture the show on TV at the resort while you're saying them. So it's,
and so now some of the, you know, the newer ones with the like New Fantasyland and you know, with Ursula, and it's like, she's not behind me, is she? You know, there's certain ones that people are starting to, they're new because they just kind of went live a month or so ago. So there's new stuff, and there's more stuff on the way. I just shot there last month. No, we're in September. I guess it was July. And we just shot a whole bunch of new stuff. So that should be hitting the show pretty soon, I believe. So, yeah, I got to wear a magic band, and that was very special.
Oh, nice. We're going to be down there in a couple of weeks to test out the magic band.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I guess, I don't know, have you heard, are people liking the magic bands?
So far, I think the feedback's pretty positive, yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
I think it is neat. A lot of the comments that we're hearing, or I'm hearing, was they love the convenience of having your park tickets and everything, your room key, just all there on your wrist.
Yeah. Well, I know if I go to Disneyland, you know, you still have to have your little park hopper to go between California Adventure and Disneyland. And they're lovely parks, but, you know, on the scale between that and Disney World, people lose their ticket from going from California Adventure to Disneyland. So, I mean, it's just, I can imagine, especially if you've got a group of people or a family to try to keep up with, that would be a lot. So,
And people seem excited to accessorize them.
Oh, yes. I know, and it's a nice takeaway.
Yeah, Yeah, the people love the box that they come in. It's funny. I'm seeing posts every day on Facebook from people all about Magic Bands and how excited they are to be testing them. So yeah, we're looking forward to getting our shot at them and seeing how they work for us in about a week.
So, oh, very cool. Okay, you'll have to report back.
Definitely.
We will.
but going back, actually, you kind of touched on this in what you were saying just a moment ago. Is you know, with all these people, like on our Facebook page, when we mentioned that we were talking to you, and they were like, "Oh, does she need an assistant? Oh, how can I get that job?" I mean, what is appearances are deceiving. So really, what is a typical day of filming truly like? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of work that goes into it. How often you mentioned that you just had to do an update. I mean, how frequently are you asked to do those from Disney? And is this something, given the success at Disney World with this, is this something that they've considered maybe doing in the other parks with you, like Disneyland or one of the parks overseas?
Well, I believe there is someone who does the Disneyland show. I think it's different. Obviously, they're very different animals, Disneyland and Disney World, just for sheer size and what there's to do. I believe there is a show for Disneyland. I've never seen it because I don't stay there if I go just for the day. But there's not an exact frequency of when I go. It's just kind of when they need me to go, I'm there and I do my prep work however long I get, whether it's a day or two or on the spot as far as learning script or just, you know, I kind of go with a good idea of what I'm supposed to say, but then I'm flexible because sometimes it changes. So I do as much work as I can do so that I am a blessing to the process and not an anchor. And there's not really an exact, it's just whenever they really have something for me to do that I have to experience in the parks. Otherwise, I'll do voiceover sessions from by phone patch from here. So sometimes I'll do it with my producers in Florida and me out here. If it's just like a
shooting over
something about, you know, the Food and Wine Festival or something that's just like an update of copy that doesn't involve changing the show footage. But typical days for me there, I know when I go, people always say, "Oh, what did you do?" I mean, when I go, it really is like they fly me in and I'm all about what I need to do and then I fly out because it's really intense. I mean, it's very usually, I think this last time I was tweeting pictures from, I was in Magic Kingdom before the sun came up. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And then the sun rose in Magic Kingdom, which I got to say was pretty spectacular to just be there when it's quiet and there's nobody there. And it's just, you just feel all these wonderful, I don't know, just energy and spirits of all these things and all these wonderful memories that people make there. I mean, I sound like I'm doing their commercial. Jeez, where's the camera? But, you know, I feel like there's all this, people leave like these little footprints of them every time they go there. So when I'm there and it's really quiet before we start shooting, and a lot of times I'll just have a little time before I'm in hair and makeup and all that, just to sort of take it all in. And I like to just kind of reconnect with that whenever I go. And so that my performance is not, I'm playing the role of someone having a good time. I really want to make sure that when someone's watching the show, I mean, I'm literally talking to each of you and telling you as if I was talking to you right now across the table. So it's just really important for me to connect with everybody and not feel like I'm talking to millions of people. When I'm talking to the camera, I feel like I'm talking to one person at a time. So I think maybe that's why people feel really connected. And obviously social media gives you that connection that you didn't have before to people, and they can tell you about their experience or you can share something with them. But it's really nice. I mean, I do feel like I do become a part of people's vacations, which is kind of fun, but you don't have to pay for me. So it's like I'm a great guest.
You know,
well, you have to pay for me, but you don't have to pay for me.
Right.
But in general, the days are pretty long. I mean, we shoot, you know, it could be anywhere from 8 to 10 hours. We'll go from sometimes, you know, we might shoot in one park all day. We might shoot in two parks or three parks. It just depends on the schedule and how much we have to get. So I was there this last time for a week, and we shot see, we shot Downtown Disney through the night. We shot from like 8 o'clock at night till 5:30 in the morning.
Ugh. And did all the cast members have to stay?
And we shot at Epcot. We shot at Magic Kingdom. We shot at Animal Kingdom. So it was really, you know, it was cool. But I have, there's an amazing team of people. I mean, the producers, the writer, the hair and makeup ladies and wardrobe people. I mean, everybody is just, they make me feel really, really great. And they do an amazing job so that I can do what I do to my best of my ability. And they take really good care of me. It's a great team. Did that answer your question?
It did. I'm just impressed that given those long hours, you can still be so peppy and come across as so up and excited. And you really do have that connection with people. It does come through on the show.
Well, thank you. And here's the fun fact about me. I don't drink alcohol. I don't ingest caffeine. And I am drug-free. So there you go. This is nature made, baby.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's...
But people call me, they said that I was like those fun size Snickers. They're like, yeah, because if you were normal size, it'd be too much. But you're sort of that fun little pocket size person. So, I'm one of those people that if I get 8 hours of sleep, it's great. If I get 2 hours of sleep, okay, I'll deal with it. If I have to be up at 3 a.m. or stay up all night, you know, I just do what I do, because the bottom line is I chose this. I chose this profession. So I better remain in gratitude about it. And every time I get to work and somebody says, you're the one, we want to hire you, and I get to do what I love, I mean, it's such a gift. So for me to be anything less than grateful and be positive and make it a good experience, then that's on me. That's my bad if I don't come to the table with that.
I like awesome. You.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great attitude. Yeah.
Go to Busch Gardens.
Oh, ouch.
Nice. Awesome.
I was like, lighten up. I mean, oh gosh, you're so perky. She said, well, what would you like me to do? Okay, this is the greatest thing ever. Yeah. You should really do it. I mean, seriously, come on.
No, yeah, you should see us when we get to Disney World. You know, we've been so many times, and I swear, going with some of these people, Lauren, is like going with a child that is going for the first time.
What do you think?
I'm trying to say that you are like a child going for the first time.
I think it was a compliment, Lauren, but I'm not sure you'll have 70 to be times.
I think it was meant as a compliment.
It
yeah, it's funny because you know we all find the magic in it, regardless of the fact that we've been, you know, 20 times, 50 times, whatever it is. Yeah.
So. Well, I think there's just a certain amount of things that you have to surrender to. I mean, if you're going to Walt Disney World, there are things that you know are a given. You know you're going to have to wait sometimes. You know you're going to have to, you know, compromise or go or shift or be flexible. Oh, we have to do this now instead of this. You know, but I think that's just life. I mean, I think it's a good thing to remember about life. You don't always have it exactly how you want it when you want it, but you're eventually going to get it. It's just maybe you're going in a different direction than you thought. So, you know, it's like lighten up, everybody. Jeez. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do that a lot because people get so frustrated when planning their vacations and just frustrated and stressed. And it's like, just think for a second.
Enjoy it.
You're going to Disney World. It's a happy thing. Make it that. You know, don't stress about, you know, how much this costs, or don't stress about getting every single thing in. Just make what you do enjoyable because it's your vacation with your family.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, if you try to, what I've gotten the sense from some people is if you try to do so much and do everything, it just becomes more of a marathon versus actually you get to experience and enjoy things. You know, I think, I mean, cause it's such a massive experience. I mean, just one park alone. I mean, that's like,
oh, it's overwhelming. And it's quite frankly daunting if mm-hmm. it's your first time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I obviously get a different perspective of it because of what I do and how I experience it. So, you know, I mean, I probably have a bit of a skewed view, perhaps, but just from observing people and just kind of from what people tell me and from their experience, I think it's, you know, it's an amazing place. And I think it's so cool that you can go back time after time after time, and it's never the same as it was the last time.
Oh, right. When people say, oh no, Disney, we've done that. There's no such thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like saying, oh, I'm going to go to France. Oh, I'm going to go to Paris. Yeah. Well, we did that. Well, okay.
And you saw everything? Really?
Yeah.
So I love to cook, and everybody on Mouse Chat is obsessed with food. And I noticed from your website that you like to cook as well and bake. And the first thing I want to know is, what is your favorite food and your favorite place to eat on property?
My favorite food in general?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay. Well, yes, I do love to cook. I do love to bake. I love to cook for other people. My obsession right now is, I just got this really great ice cream maker.
Yes.
Oh, so I'm making, but wait, it gets better because I'm vegetarian, borderline vegan. I have vegan tendencies. You know, sometimes I'll be dairy free for a while, and sometimes I have my ice cream thing. But I've been exploring making vegan ice cream. So I've been making ice cream with coconut milk and almond milk and not doing sugar because I don't eat a lot of sugar. Again, shocking. But I've been doing, you know, like coconut palm sugar as a sweetener or agave. And so I've been making some really fantastic ice cream. So that's kind of my little fun thing right now when I have time. But I love making feasts. Like even when I'm just cooking for myself or another, you know, friend or two, it's like I love making multiple courses, and I'm always playing around with stuff. I love creating.
Okay, if it'll make everybody happy, what is your favorite place to eat on property? And you may say a Dole Whip if you like.
Okay, can I tell you, I have not.
Oh, well, it's not vegan.
They don't eat, a Dole Whip. Like, what?
Yeah.
I know. And this last time I was there, I was like, okay. And I even said to one of the producers, I said, I have to have a Dole Whip this time, even if it's a bite. And we're like, okay. And then everything was just, you know, we were all over the place. And, you know, I mean, the little Dole Whip dude's not there at, you know, 5 a.m. So by the time I realized I didn't have a Dole Whip, I was leaving. So I haven't had one. It's sort of my little, you know.
It's on your must-do list?
Yes, it's must, but
I see what you did there, Lisa. That's clever.
Do you know what I would do? I would skip the Dole Whip and get a citrus swirl. It's about 10 times better.
Really? Okay, now we've got another layer of complexity.
Also not vegan.
What is the difference between the citrus swirl and the Dole Whip?
A Dole Whip is pineapple, and a citrus swirl is kind of orange with vanilla swirled in it. It's so much better.
Oh, so it's orange Julius-y versus pineapple.
Yeah, but it'll give you an ice cream headache every time. So that's sort of like an added, I don't know, torture.
Okay, so this is what I have to look for. I have something to look forward to. Okay, so I'm going to add this citrus swirl to my must-do but can't-seem-to-do list.
Yeah.
And the nerve of that cast member not to be at the Dole Whip stand at 5 a.m.
What's wrong with those people?
Seriously. Oh.
I mean, you would think they would be waiting.
I walked by, you know, I said, oh, that's where these alleged Dole Whips are produced, but no one was there. It was too early.
You pretty much need to get in line at 5 a.m. to
really? Okay.
To have a shot of getting one without a 30-minute wait.
That's actually why I've never had one, because I walk past it and I see the line and I'm like,
it's really long.
You haven't had one either?
Do I need it? It's going to put calories in my body.
Maybe there should be a fast pass for Dole Whips.
You
can make it one of on My Magic Plus. You can make it one of your
like three. You could have like a Dole Pass, the pineapple pass. I don't think that one's going to fly, but that's okay.
Well, getting off the topic of ice cream treats, as much as that pains Chris, because she loves to all things baking and cooking, even though she has never made me anything, hint, hint.
I'll send you some ice cream, Bob.
There you go. Yeah. All the way from North Carolina. We'll see. Thank you.
It'll be a puddle.
You talked before a little bit about theater, and I know that's been a help to you with being able to do things in one take and make improv a little bit when necessary. Any plans to return to live theater acting in the future?
I did a couple plays since I've been in LA, but no, probably not, because I'm between my on-camera stuff and I'm really busy as a voice actor. So I am not, and we may talk about it later, but I'm producing and hosting a web show that's full on. So probably not, but it's between my web show and my voice acting, I get a lot of opportunity to improvise. And honestly, like, I just really, in my normal life, I'm always sort of feel like I'm on as far as just being open to what's happening and riffing off of that. So I do miss from my dance days, and I do miss that live. I love the live performance and just the immediacy of it and the fact that there is no do-overs. But I do sort of get that need filled in other ways with even the stuff I'm doing now. So not right now.
I'm not sure how much downtime you actually get when you're filming at Disney World. But if you do get downtime, is there one attraction, show, experience, anything at all that's specific at the parks that you have to do and you really enjoy?
Well, I don't really get a lot of downtime. But what's nice about if I am able to, when we're filming and I'm actually filming on different attractions, I mean, I get to ride them multiple times in a row. So, you know, while I am, quote, working and talking to the camera at the same time, it does feel like I am getting a bit of time in the parks. And, but really when we're not filming, I'm either, you know, I don't have a lot of time to kind of reset and start the next day. So again, because as much as I would love to run around and do other things, I mean, my goal is to make sure every single day gets better than the day before. And I'm not looking like, oh, this must have been day four when she shot that, because she looks sunburned and tired. So I don't really do a lot of running around. But, I mean, I do love anything that goes fast. I mean, I love my roller coasters. I really legitimately do love them. And, you know, I love my little teacups. I still stand by my little teacups.
Oh,
Steve hates those.
Those things kill
Steve
me.
Steve just vomited in his mouth.
No, it's funny. I can't do those teacups, but I can do Rock and Roller Coaster 50 times in a day.
I mean, I saw Aerosmith in concert in December, this last December, with Cheap Trick. Spectacular. And I was so excited. And so, yeah, I could do the Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith about 9 million times and never tire of it. Nice. I love it. I'm obsessed
with
it.
My favorite ride.
I would like to know.
You did look like you were enjoying yourself on Expedition Everest.
Oh, yeah. That's great, too. Yeah. I know. And when it goes backwards, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, that always gets people because they are not expecting that. I love that. People have never been on it. And yeah.
And we were talking about the lines, and people do like that line. There doesn't seem to be any track. People like that one. That's right. Yeah. That is actually one of my favorite. That moment, I don't know, just that moment and that shot. And well, I don't know.
Yes, where you put your finger up to your mouth,
yeah,
and to make that face. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of scary.
I've seen the show a few times, obviously.
Just a couple.
Bob knows way too many things about the show.
Well, you know what it is when you're in like one of the club level lounges, the TV is on to the show all the time. So you're in there for a while and it just plays, mm-hmm. and over the course of a week you do see it a lot. So yes, I happen to know that exact scene that you're talking about. So.
Or if
yes.
You have small children that really just want to keep watching it over and over and
they
over
do.
Again.
They're drawn.
You get to see it all the time.
Oh yes. The parents love me.
You're like an in-room babysitter without the
I go
feeding.
To sleep listening to you when my kids are with me.
Well, I do have a lot of people that tell me that because of me, they had to do Summit Plummet because someone in the family was saying, Stacey said we have to do it. Stacey said it was fun. So
That's cool.
Sorry.
Stacey.
It's only like 5 seconds of your life of sheer terror. I mean, it's not like it's 20 minutes, so.
I want to know which of the takes, you said, you know, sometimes you do it over and over, which one of the takes or rides or attractions was done with the most takes, the most do-overs, and nope, try it again, and just over and over again?
Well, they're usually really good about, especially, you know, there's times when they rig cameras up inside, as well as I have what they call a lipstick camera, which is, you know, about 6-8 inches long, and it's on the car, whatever car I'm in. Or sometimes there's a cameraman sitting in the car with me. But, you know, a lot of times we'll do, I'm trying to think, Summit Plummet I did, I believe, 3 times. And I mean, I, you know, I wasn't, there obviously wasn't a camera on me. Mm-hmm. But we did Space Mountain. I think the most we've ever done has been like 3 times. Probably 3 times, because sometimes we want to try something different. Sometimes they want to just, you know, experiment. And because it doesn't bother me, I can ride stuff over and over again. I'll say, yeah, let's just keep doing it till we get what they need. So a lot of times it's just because we get to have options and they want to have options when they put it all together.
Sounds like you're really easy to work with.
I mean, it's kind of feels like, you know, I mean, I think that I am. People tell me that I am. And, you know, at the end of the day, and I say this to my mom all the time, at the end of the day, I am my parents' daughter first. And I was raised to be a collaborator. I come from a very big family, and I was raised to always remember that what I do has consequences to me, to other people. And so I approach that same thing whenever I'm working, because when you're on a set or you're in a production, it's an extension of a family. It is a family, and you're together for however long, whether it's I'm shooting a commercial for 8 hours or I'm shooting on a film for 3 months, whatever it is, or I'm doing a voiceover session for 15 minutes, whatever it is, whoever is in that project and in that family, you know, it's not just about me as the talent. You know, I always say when people call you the talent, which I always think is such a, it's always so funny when they say, where's the talent? I mean, because everybody's talented. We all must do Disney Top 7. Nothing I do works unless everybody contributes their talent and their genius, whatever they're doing, whether it's the guy that's lighting my shot or the woman doing my eyeliner or a producer or a writer, the guy who's doing the craft service. I mean, everybody has an important role to play. And for me, I just make sure that every single person knows that I appreciate them and they always support me. And so I make sure after every wrap, I go and I shake everybody's hand and hug them and thank them. And, you know, I mean, because it isn't just about me. I might be the only person you see in the show, but it's certainly not just my efforts alone.
So you were hinting to a web show and some other stuff. So where would we also see you besides on the Disney TV when we show up at Disney World?
Or should we say hear you?
Yeah, or hear you with your voice work.
Well, I have a show called VO Buzz Weekly, VOBuzzWeekly.com. It's a show that is about putting the face to the voice of the voiceover business. And I produce it with Chuck Duran, who's the rock star. He's a literal rock star, and he's also the rock star of voiceover demo producing. And we came up with this idea to do kind of an entertainment style show about voiceover. And so we bring on people that you may know from animated films or TV shows or promos and trailers, writers, agents. We just kind of shine a light on and celebrate the voiceover business. So we just had June Foray on. She is, of course, the voice of Rocky the Squirrel and Tasha. And
very cool.
She was Witch Hazel and Granny in Looney Tunes. And she's amazing. She's almost 96 years old and still working. She is such an inspiration. So I've gotten to meet some really, really cool people. And we started the show back in January of 2012. And it just kind of a little over a year and a half, we're already in 85 countries. We have sponsors and a great fan base of loyal viewers. So it's a really cool vehicle for me as a host, as a voice actor, as a writer. I've just gotten to wear so many different hats. And because it is a digital brand, as you guys know, I've gotten to learn so much about websites and web design and back end and coding and all this cool stuff that I didn't necessarily ever set out to do or think I would ever know how to do. And now, because of the platform we use, you know, I'm on the back end doing all this cool stuff, and so it's kind of nice. I've learned a lot, just as a performer or as a host, just as building a business, building a digital brand. So it's been very cool. Okay. So I have that going on. I have a video game I'm in that's coming out next year, but I can't talk more about it. I know I hate when people say that, but I can't. They'll kill me. But that's going to be really cool. And
is it kind of like Laura? Is it like Tomb Raider, Laura Croft type style?
A dork.
As I was saying, I'm like a vault.
It is.
I am a vault.
It is.
Even if
it
you
is.
Give me
that's what it
pasta,
is.
I am a vault. So I'm really good. People know that when they tell me something, if they say, listen, this is between us, it's literally, I am Fort Knox. So nice try there, pal. It's not going to happen. but I do a lot of voiceover stuff. I have, you know, spots running for AT&T right now, radio spots and McDonald's. And so I'm just kind of doing various things. You know, I never know exactly what I'm going to be doing.
You are so well-rounded. You do, I mean, just
did
talking
you just
about...
Me fat?
Oh, gosh. Really?
Sorry. I couldn't resist.
Have you seen your picture? No, I mean, there's just so many different facets that make you well-rounded. And you know, just talking about this last one, helping on the back end of the website and getting into that, you know, that says a lot. You know, you've got the creative side, the artsy side, the fun side, the pure side, the cooking side. It's kind of neat.
Things. No, I mean, for me, it's like I like to just really try to be balanced about my life. I mean, as much as what I do is my job, it is a part of who I am. It's not just, oh, I'm going to go do my job and then I come home and I'm somebody else. Everything about what I do as my work has a part of me in it. So the challenge is, because my life really is about driving and waiting and auditioning, I try to keep in balance and not let the rejection, which is always present. I mean, I am rejected more than I am accepted professionally. And so I just have
feels.
To try to keep in balance about...
I feel you.
But, you know, it's like I just have to keep in balance about the fact, and I always say to myself, whatever happens at this audition or, you know, nobody can take anything away from me that truly matters in my life and my family and my friends and my animals and my heart and my faith. And so I just do my best. I do what I can do. And then I just try to not attach to those expectations of the outcome. And granted, there are times when I want something really, really badly and, oh, I'd be so perfect for that project. And sometimes I get it and sometimes I don't. So it's just trying to figure out that I can still be me and I can still be happy and I still have a lot about my life that's amazing that isn't attached to how many times I get a job or a paycheck. And so it's a constant, you know, as a performer, it's a constant, you have to stay checked in with yourself about it. At least I do anyway, because I just don't want to get to that point where I'm only happy if I'm working, and if I'm not working, then you better stay away from me because I'm bitter and, you know, snotty. So for me, I approach my work as a business. It is entertainment and it is creative, but it is also a business. And so, you know, there's really just key things and that I need to remember that are important about what I do. It's not just about showing up and knowing your lines or looking cute on camera or bringing the character to life in a voiceover project. It is a business. And so there are things that go along with that, just like any other business. And so other experiences I've had in my life and other mediums, I've worked in fitness and education, and it's helped me keep things going and be smart about, I mean, just simple things like being on time, being polite, sending a thank you note. I mean, those kinds of things seem so obvious, but I'm always amazed when I'm encountering someone or someone's telling me something about it and they're like, yeah, you know, they were half an hour late, or they, you know, they just seem to say thank you. And it just, to me, that just seems mind-boggling, because like I said earlier, I mean, I'm my parents' daughter, and that being a good person and being respectful and being great, gracious is that that has to lead with everything I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't want to be around myself if I wasn't like that.
Okay, just a few last questions.
Okay.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Whew. I can't have a swirl, huh?
No.
Okay, I'm going to say vanilla.
All right. Cat or dog?
Oh, I cannot answer that.
Oh.
If it has paws, if it has whiskers, if it, I can't. I adore every creature. I don't even kill spiders. Like, if I see a spider in my house, I like scoop it up and I put it outside. I can't.
I do that too.
I can't say cat or dog. I'm sorry. Right now, I have two beautiful rescued cats. I'm sure that I will have dogs at some point, but right now I have cats because that's what I have. But I do a lot of, work with rescue organizations and charity groups, and I want to save every animal and I want to end animal homelessness.
Aw, that's awesome.
So I'm sorry, I cannot say cat or dog because I love them. I love them.
Okay. Movie theater or rental?
Rental.
Half full or half empty, as if we don't know.
Overflowing.
Comedy or drama?
Bottomless. What?
Comedy or drama?
Comedy.
Mm-hmm. Dine in or takeout?
That's a tough one.
Depends on the company.
I would rather cook. Can I choose C, my cooking? No.
Well, you already made your own choices on cat and dog, so you can do it again.
Anything that allows me to stay in my pajamas. Like, I love to, you know. Here's my thing. I have this tradition for Thanksgiving because I'm normally not with my family. So I have kind of a Thanksgiving with my chosen family. And for the last few years, we do, everyone comes over, I cook, and I do a pajama party, and it's like the anti-holiday. Everyone wears pajamas or something like pajamas, something you would never wear outside of your house. And I've had people in footy pajamas and slippers and onesies. I mean, people come in anything, and so anything that can keep me in my pajamas makes me happy.
Okay. You know, I was asking those. Some people think those are kind of stupid questions, but I think just as you kind of commented, tells a little bit about someone, and you know, we learn about your animals and your Thanksgiving pajama parties and
yeah. Well, and it's the problem with me is that I'm not black and white, so it's very hard for me to, you know, like, I love vanilla, but it has to have vanilla bean, but I do love dark chocolate. So I mean, I'm very, it's hard for me to make those choices, man. You're putting me on the spot, man.
I am. What about a vanilla bean cone covered in that hard dark chocolate?
Oh, see? So you get your chocolate and your vanilla. Why do I have to choose?
I was offering it.
Oh, okay. But I have... Okay. I understand now.
You know, the rules are always different for me. It just is the way it is.
It's true.
I make up my own rules. That's why they have me start the show and end the show. Because I'm kind of making up things as I go along. So with that being said, Stacey, we're going to wrap up the show right here. I'd like to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. If you like our shows, you can download them there. Send your comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. Stacey, thank you once again for joining us. We really appreciate it, and we love watching you.
Thank you so much. And if people want to keep up with me, they can... keep up with me on Twitter and on Facebook, Stacey J. Aswad Host, and at Stacey J. Aswad on Instagram. So you can reach out to me there, and I'll do my best to give you a shout back.
That would be fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great night.